Podcast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we're joined by Leslie Kane, investigative journalist. She is a best-selling author of a UFO book, which is an extreme rarity. We don't get too many of those. She's researched UFOs as an investigative journalist for over a decade and has lots of important insights. And we're going to cover what she has to say, particularly also about a forthcoming UFO conference and about a certain conference we've talked a lot about called the Citizen Hearing on Disclosure. But first, Leslie, first, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm so happy to be back with you guys.
Now, we got this item that you're hearing about probably for the first time. You don't have to comment on it. Maybe Chris and I will talk about it briefly before we get into it. There's an article from Tony Bregaglia, who recently had written a piece being skeptical of the reality of the Socorro, New Mexico UFO landing. And now he has a piece where he concludes that Aztec is really Roswell. Chris, did you read this piece?
I did, Gene, and I'll tell you, you have to hand it to Tony Bregaglia. He's quite creative in the way he analyzes some of these historical cases. I absolutely disagree with his assertions on Socorro that it was a hoax by college students. There's just no evidence to back it up, and the evidence he proposes doesn't fly.
Understand that Tony is a member of Kevin Randall's dream team to investigate Roswell. So
exactly.
This particular piece here has already gotten response from Frank Warren and some others at the blog site. What is he concluding here?
Well, from the tone, it sounds like he's saying that Aztec was actually disinformation trying to take the focus away from Roswell, but that much of the information about Aztec actually could be applied to the Roswell event, which shows some pretty creative thinking on Bregaglia's part. But, you know, I think we really need to, to come up with some more solid evidence to back up that assertion. And I'd be very interested to see if he's able to do that.
The basic conclusion here is that Aztec was meant to be disinformation, to refocus attention from Roswell. And if that was true, maybe it succeeded because we didn't start talking about Roswell till the late 1970s.
Yeah, correct. So, but again, I must underscore the creative thinking going on here and creative analysis. I do appreciate out-of-the-box thinkers, and although I don't particularly agree with some of the assertions that Bregaglia has proposed in the past, I think this one deserves some attention because it kind of has a ring to it, and I would be interested to learn more.
Leslie, do you have any particular opinions about Aztec or Roswell?
Unfortunately, I don't, no. I mean, I just don't. I'm not well-informed enough to have opinions about them, about those particular cases, I mean.
Sure. And I think at this point, getting new information about those cases is probably going to be impossible unless some miracle occurs. In any case, Leslie, now, before we discuss this upcoming event, we have had several episodes referencing the Citizen Hearing on Disclosure sponsored by Stephen Bassett, which took place recently in Washington, D.C., featuring ex-members of Congress. In fact, in the case of one ex-member, former Senator Mike Gravel, I think he's been out of the Senate for, what, 30 years, Chris? Something like that?
I think 81, yeah, even longer.
Wow. So, you know, he needed a day job, I guess. Now, Leslie, you weren't there, although a lot of interesting people were. What's your reaction to this sort of thing?
Boy, it's a complicated question. I don't know. I almost don't want to answer it, but I have put some things on my Facebook page about it because I was quoted in the New York Times. I mean, I basically just wanted to stay out of the whole thing, but I was quoted in the New York Times, and this upset some people. I don't know if you're aware of that article.
I'm aware of the item in the New York Times.
Okay.
I thought it was a fairly balanced article, unlike the one in the Washington Post, which I think just denigrated the entire thing. But what about the New York Times article bothered you?
Well, first of all, I do agree. I thought it was the best article that came out of the whole thing because it was serious in its tone. And also just the fact that it's the first article the New York Times has ever published that's serious on this topic. And I spent a lot of time with that reporter, and I gave him lots of information to kind of inform him that there really was something serious about this subject. And I think, you know, he made this quote that I said, I didn't think that the event in Washington was serious. And it's not quite that simple. I didn't really like the quote because I felt it was taken out of context. So basically what I had problems with initially was the fact that Stephen Bassett did what he always does, which is to claim that there's an extraterrestrial presence, I guess he calls it. There are extraterrestrials here that are communicating with humans. They've been here for decades, and the governments of the world are covering this up, and lots of people know about it in the government. And, you know, he thinks half the Congress knows about UFOs, et cetera. And so I just don't accept the very premise that he operates from. And because I think it's one that I know, I mean, I don't think this, I know this, that the official world does not accept those statements as being facts. And when somebody makes those statements, they don't want anything to do with them. You have to start with, you know, information that you can prove with people that don't know anything about the subject and people whose reputations are at risk if they get involved with it. So I was sitting there, you know, before, I mean, I was just disappointed that Steve didn't tone the whole thing down if he's jumping into the middle of Washington like he did. And I think that by not doing that, he was actually feeding the media information that, of course, they were going to ridicule. I mean, it was just obvious to me that they were going to ridicule this thing before it even began. Because when you make statements like that, what do you expect? And that's exactly what happened. I mean, these articles came in, and what they were focusing on was that one point that he made about aliens. So all the articles, you know, a lot of them anyway that I saw were, you know, oh, going to Congress and because they're claiming that aliens are here and aliens this and extraterrestrials this. That's what the media fixates on because it's the most ridiculous part of the claim that he's making. And so I was just very disappointed. I felt like this was an opportunity where if he had made some sensible statements and just decided to try to prevent evidence for things we can back up, more like what I'd done in my book, I thought he would have had more success, basically. But this way, I just think it wasn't productive. And that's what I meant by that statement. I also think that some of the people that he gave platforms to should never have been there.
And, we can list the names, yes.
I don't want to list the names.
Okay.
But, you know, so I really wanted to stay far away from it. So that's sort of my take on it. But I didn't mean to offend anyone. I think there were some serious people there, and there were people there that made very good statements and did very well. I mean, I don't mean to denigrate the whole thing, but I just sort of think that when you taint it the way he has with these kinds of claims, it sort of taints the whole thing. And even though you had some good, serious people there, you know, you sort of lost it by going out the way he did with it. And that's just my, you know, I always have felt very strongly about that. I've written about it. I've written articles about the importance of, you know, being careful what you say. If you're trying to access politicians or scientists, you cannot make claims like that. And I strongly take that position, and I stand by that position. And I think if you look at the media coverage of this event, it bears out what I'm saying, because there were a lot of ridicule pieces. And I believe that if he hadn't gone out like that with this extraterrestrial business, he would not have been ridiculed the way he was. That's just my perception, because I haven't been ridiculed, and I've never, when I make, you know, the more kind of sane, balanced statements that I make, I don't get ridiculed. You know, it just bothered me that he's so stubborn about the way he does things.
Well, you know, he's been on the PowerCast several times. And I know Robert Hastings referenced one of those appearances, a particular portion of one show, where he pretty much said he doesn't care. He plainly doesn't care about vetting his people. He's looking for, I suppose, the most impact in terms of publicity, but not understanding getting the wrong publicity. This is what you encountered with the New York Times, the fact that they are looking for sound bites. In this day and age, you want to get the four or five words that seem most provocative and use those as the basis of the story. It doesn't mean they're not serious about what they wrote, and certainly I think the one from the New York Times was, but that's what happens. We'll get into more of that and get into a lot of, I hope, positive stuff coming up. Leslie Kane's joining us, and by the way, Charles Hault will be here in the second half of the show. Lots more to come with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You know, the people we work with the most aren't always the people we see every day. Coworkers work on the go, different offices, clients are spread across the country, around the globe. You know, to work efficiently today, you need to have a stronger connection to your team to build trust and stay focused and brainstorm. And as you know, here on my radio shows, We've got people around the world that we deal with. Well, with GoToMeeting by Citrix, your entire team is just a click away. You can share the same screen and collaborate in real time. Tell me about it, even on your iPad. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code PODCAST. Remember, use the promo code PODCAST. GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We have Leslie Kane joining us on the Paracast. She's an investigative journalist who's written a book about UFOs that is one of the rare bestsellers. And we were talking here about what I would say, Leslie, and you can disagree with me, about the need to be politically correct when you address scientists and government officials about UFOs. You don't assume facts not in evidence, and maybe UFOs are ET. But unless you can prove that, you don't say it. You can say strange things are going on that we do not understand, but if you push things too far, they're going to just laugh at you. Am I getting this right?
Yes, they're not going to laugh at you, and they're going to run away. I mean, they may not laugh, but they certainly will not engage with you or take you seriously for 1 second. I don't understand why Steve doesn't understand that. It's such a simple thing to understand. And I've dealt with these government officials for years, and I've dealt with government officials from other countries, both from Chile and France, which represent the best government agencies that exist, you know, on this issue in the world. They wouldn't buy into this extraterrestrials engaging humans for decades and screaming and yelling about government cover-ups. I mean, anybody that does that is not going to be engaged by them. So, I mean, Steve has this philosophy maybe that he doesn't need government officials, but then he says he's trying to get to Obama. So, you know, who knows what's going on, but it's not rational. And yes, you have to be able to prove what you present. And when you're dealing with people who don't know anything about the subject, which is the vast majority of our political establishment, they don't know anything, and they're not interested in UFOs. They could care less.
A very
good
point.
Other things on their plate. And, you know, there's these fantasies that these people have about, oh, everybody knows about it and they're hiding it, or they're going into the back rooms. I mean, Steve used to say that the Democrats have gone into the back rooms and decided that this is going to be the disclosure president and all this kind of stuff. And he makes these statements as if they were facts. It's just deceiving people, you know. I mean, I don't know where he gets this stuff.
That's part of the problem with this field, is there's too many people out there that are mirror gazing inside a bubble. And unfortunately, when you get a big benefactor to come forward with, you know, seven-figure sum, I think it kind of legitimizes and validates that navel-gazing and sort of existing within the bubble. And your point is well taken. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just needed to throw that in there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's progress with this further. Now, Okay. Obviously, if we're going to be paranoid about it, we could say that someone like Stephen Bassett serves the interests of anyone who might be keeping a secret. Because you have somebody like him going on there and ranting about this, he's going to help keep secrets. So if that was the goal, if there are really secrets, that's not the way to get them.
Well, that's sort of an irony, isn't it?
It is. I'm not going to say he's a disinformation agent or not, because we live in a paranoid culture. But I notice another way that some people who are very serious about the subject try to make it look more respectable is, one, you don't use the word UFO, which has that veneer of silliness about it. You know,
right, but that's very hard to avoid.
It is very hard to avoid, but obviously scientists are using the term that NARCAF uses, for example,
exactly.
Unidentified aerial phenomena. And years ago, APRO would insist on calling them unidentified aerial objects, UAO, which is similar. In other words,
Right. Make
it very specific. This is something that's going on that we do not understand. We can't necessarily explain it by conventional means. It deserves scientific explanation. And maybe the stench of UFOs carries over to certain people, so calling it something else.
Yeah, I mean, I respect the scientists who do that, and I thought seriously about it when I wrote my book, but I also realized that when you have any other acronym out there, people don't know what it is. So you'd have to have in the same line every time you use it, you'd have to explain it. Now, a scientist may not care because they're basically speaking to other scientists, but as a journalist and as somebody writing a book, I had to care that people know what I'm talking about, you know? So I decided to use it, but I completely respect and understand why people would choose to avoid the term. It's got so much baggage. I opened my book by trying to explain what a UFO actually is and properly defining it, which I wish everyone would do, of course. That might change some of the people's perceptions about it, but people don't do it. Everyone assumes a UFO is an extraterrestrial spacecraft by definition. But unfortunately, you know, that's not what it is. And that's one of the biggest problems in talking about the subject, is that assumption. Very hard one to undo.
Well, there was this survey that was done. It was sponsored by National Geographic when they had that Chasing UFOs TV series, about which the less said the better. When two of your co-hosts say, we're going to disavow this show, you just know that it wasn't the best thing. But it did point out something, that a third of the people that they surveyed believe that UFOs are spaceships. Now, understand, if you go back to older surveys, as you probably know, back in the 90s and 80s, it was half the people in the United States. But still, that's the problem. UFOs are synonymous with spaceships. If you say, I think UFOs are real, oh, you believe E.T. is here.
Exactly.
It goes without saying.
And I have to constantly explain that to people when I talk about the subject, always, because that's exactly right. The acronym means that to everybody. And so it just has to be stated over and over again that that's not what you're talking about. You can press a button in my brain and I've done it so many times, you know, but you have to do that. And of course, you know, the UFO crowd, the people that, you know, like at this event in Washington, I mean, nobody cares about that kind of careful delineation and rigor, the kind of rigor that's needed when you want to make a strong case on behalf of the evidence for a physical phenomenon. I just don't think you can go further than that. But that case can be made, but you have to do it properly, and then people will listen.
It's funny, though, how the world has changed. Back in the early 50s, Captain Edward Ruppelt, who headed Project Blue Book, instead of calling them flying saucers, he said, we'll call them unidentified flying objects, which was meant to be the serious phrase. But
right. Yep. And the Air Force defined it. The Air Force wrote up a definition, you know, the U.S. Air Force. It was serious, yeah. And unfortunately, that changed into something else over time. And we're stuck with that problem today.
I know that in those years, of course, the serious guy was someone like Major Kehoe, who did state outright he thought we were being visited by E.T. But he tried in making the move to get Congress to investigate. He would give the important cases, but he'd be very careful about the stuff that had unusual aspects to it. He'd stay away from UFO abductions, for example.
Right.
Not saying they're not true. In that case, we're talking about, say, Barney and Betty Hill in the 60s. The point being that that is such an extreme phenomenon that it's just going to turn a lot of people off, no matter
exactly
how true
yeah
it is.
Exactly. It's not a matter of what's true and what isn't. It's a matter of strategy, the strategy that's going to get the job done that needs to be done. That's what's important. It's not about what anybody believes to be true or not true.
Now, the biggest argument, I guess, is I'm going to ask you this, and we've got a lot of questions from our listeners, is how can we change that climate? Because obviously we have the baggage carried by UFOs. The expectations have been created through popular culture, through these reality shows. How do we get past that and move beyond it and really figure out what's going on? And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Leslie's book is called UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. It's a straight-ahead story. We'll have a lot more to come. Charles Hall joining us in the second half of the show with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. Do you know the number one most valuable item in a crisis? Some people think the answer is gold. Others think it's a gun. But the correct answer will shock you. I just created a free video at crisis123.com that reveals a surprising item that is more valuable than gold in a crisis. 97% of Americans don't have this one critical item. In fact, they haven't even given it a thought. And the sad truth is that you may not survive without it when a real crisis hits and a starving mob is right outside your door. What I have to tell you could literally make the difference between life and death for you and your family. Watch my video at crisis123.com to discover the number one most valuable item in a crisis. You'll be shocked. See the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go watch my video now at crisis123.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's crisis123.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
This message dares all fish oil consumers. Yes, many people now take fish oil supplements, but the makers of K48 Plus want you to know it's not what you consume, but how it is absorbed that counts. So we dare you to compare fish oil with K48 Plus. K48 Plus, an omega-3 powerhouse, is made with the highest grade and most potent dose of krill oil available, and is 48 times more easily absorbed than common fish oil. K48 Plus is both a remarkable anti-inflammatory as well as a powerful antioxidant. If you suffer from ailments such as diabetes, COPD, autism, arthritis, depression, migraines, lupus, Alzheimer's, glaucoma, joint pain, high cholesterol, memory loss, or Crohn's disease, you need to see the K48 Plus video at livepremium.net. That's LIVEPremium.net. Or please call 208-521-3601. That's 208-521-3601 and ask about K48 Plus. Restore hope, optimize health with K48 Plus.
This is Kurt Seven, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
Leslie Kane joining us on the Paracast with Gene and Chris. Charles Halt coming in the second half of the show. And we were talking here about, let's face it, the need to be politically correct if you're trying to convince scientists, government officials, engineers, whatever, that there is a phenomenon worth investigating, that UFOs are not just conventional objects. You've got to be really careful about what you say and how you say it. And I guess the biggest problem now, Leslie, with all the baggage the UFO field has had over the past 50, 60 years, how do we overcome it? Can it be overcome?
Well, I don't know if it can be, but we can certainly try. And, I mean, my approach to doing that has been really what I did in my book, which is to pull together high-level officials from around the world who do not ascribe to this sort of, you know, ufology approach or whatever you want to call it. But I've pulled together what I believe is the strongest evidence presented by the people who are not going to make claims beyond what they can prove and who take this approach, and to just try to get that perspective out there and try to get it to the right people. I mean, I don't know what else to do. And I just sort of dissociate myself from the rest of the whole UFO scene. I mean, I'm a journalist. I'm not a ufologist or whatever they call it, or I'm somebody who's trying to present the best quality, most authoritative and well-documented information and bring the sources of that information at the highest level sources that I can find and present it in a way that is acceptable to officialdom and then get it to them. And so, you know, all you can do is just keep plugging away at doing that. That's it. And, you know, one of the things I've done is my book. And then this conference that's coming up, which we can talk about a little bit, is also another venue, you know, helping to provide a platform for people to make statements that are from this more official world. And going on shows like yours and making statements that I feel are important to be made, I welcome those opportunities. But and so it's a hard road to climb. But I think progress is being made, and I'm just going to keep at it. I don't know what else to do.
Let's continue with this, and let's look over the problems and the issues. So when you go to a scientist or military official to talk about this, do they kind of give you the third degree? Hey, you know, spaceships, flying saucers, who believes in that? How do you get past that?
Well, I mean, it's not like I've sat down with a lot of military officials. You know, I have certain contacts, and I conducted this briefing in Washington that John Podesta, we had kept this off the record, but John Podesta went on the record with that in the New York Times article that I was quoted in. You know, and that was a group of people in which what I did for that was I wrote up a briefing paper and presented my own assessment of why we need to take the subject seriously. And then I brought in four or five people to do this briefing with me, which the same way I did in my book. I like to give a platform to people like General Wilfred de Brouwer from Belgium or Dr. Richard Haynes, you know, people that I feel to be the authorities on this topic. You just present the information, and when I did this briefing, people listened, and they were enthralled by it, and they asked very intelligent questions. But if I had come in there and talked about extraterrestrials being here and that there's a government cover-up and there's all these secrets being kept, and, you know, I wouldn't have been able to have this briefing. So anyway, John Podesta has been sort of a link for me to that world. And he has great respect for the way I approach the subject and how I go about it. And that's the reason that he's working with me is only because of that. And I think that shows the necessity of and the value of doing it the way I do it. I haven't had a lot of one-on-one meetings, but I think every meeting depends on who you're talking to. And, you know, I just feel like I'm one of the things I do know how to do is distill the information and create a briefing document or whatever is necessary, which includes the kinds of information that should be stated at high levels. And I know how to eliminate the information that should not be stated. And again, it doesn't mean that the other information isn't true or that, you know, whatever everybody has to say about this, it might all be true. But the point is, it doesn't work to bring that into the official world. You've just got to know what works and what doesn't work.
Okay, let's just cover this very briefly because we have a lot of questions from our listeners. Leslie, okay, you're going into someone. Can you briefly state what sort of evidence you're going to present that's the most compelling to show them this is something that's worth further study?
Yeah, I mean, I first would make some statements about the overall issues about why it's important as a science, you know, that it's important as a scientific problem. It's important because there are aviation safety issues that are raised by it. And then I might cite some of the cases that have the most compelling evidence. I think the O'Hare Airport. I mean, the argument that I usually take is that we need a government agency in the United States, let's say just a staff person, even one or two people, to serve as point people on this issue. And I will outline what other governments are doing in other countries and show that they take it seriously and that these are the reasons why and that we need somebody to interact with those other governments. And that's sort of the point that I'm trying to make. And in making that point, I have to argue for it. So an example I love to argue on is the O'Hare incident from 2006. And to illustrate the kind of dysfunctional way that our government does respond to these cases, that case illustrates that very well. The Phoenix Lights is another incident in which our government had no relationship, whereas in other countries, the official agencies would get very involved in these kinds of events and would inform the public about them. So a lot of what I do is try to make the comparison with the agencies from other countries and to just sort of highlight not so much that there's something weird there, but that we have a phenomenon that's recurring and that we don't have any way within the United States structure of coping with it, of dealing with it, and that it really needs to be addressed. And that's sort of what I think is the most important point to make.
If there's a single country out there that's doing it right, in your opinion, what country would that be?
I would say that Chile is doing it the best, actually the best in the world. As far as I'm aware, I've been down there many times in the last year and actually have watched them work and have been briefed by the General Bermudez, who's the head of that agency. They have four full-time staff. They're in the process of getting a fifth person now. And their agency is situated within the equivalent of our FAA. And what's incredible at this agency is, you know, they do great work, but it's the way they're plugged in with all the different government agencies, government departments, militaries, airports, aviation communities. They are completely plugged in throughout the whole country and accepted by the country, by every branch of government. And they have regular meetings with, you know, the Air Force commanders, high level officials in the Navy. And when a case comes up, they have a committee on hand which represents experts from all these different areas that will immediately jump in and provide whatever assistance is needed to investigate cases. Everybody takes it seriously there. And it's just a wonderful thing to observe. You know, it's such an opposite extreme from what, obviously, from what we've got going on here. And what I intend to do is try to write up a paper, which I would like to be able to use in my continuing explorations and trying to get something like this to happen here. I'm going to write up a paper sort of describing how the Chilean agency operates, because I do think it's exemplary for the world, and I think it's a model that a lot of other countries could benefit from understanding. So that's I think, and then of course the French agency is very good too. They're smaller than the Chilean agency. I don't think they have the kind of support throughout the country that the Chilean agency has. So they may be a little more hampered, even though they have they want very much to do the work. But they're just a little more hampered, I think, in France, so it's harder. But the support for the agency in Chile is just really impressive at the absolute highest levels, the absolute highest levels. And they're all plugged in, and they, as I said, they stop in for briefings from the office periodically, and when somebody has an incident, it immediately goes to that office without any question about it.
Does the press in Chile cover this a lot, too?
They do. I mean, I think that the one thing about the agency there is called the CEFAA. They're very careful that they thoroughly investigate a case before it goes to the press. So sometimes there's a delay before the material goes out. And, of course, there aren't that many really strong cases that come in, just like anywhere. They'll get lots of calls, and they get photographs all the time and stuff. But the ones that are really worth following up, you know, are not that common.
Yep. Leslie Kane is joining us. We're going to have Charles Hall to discuss the Rendlesham incident and other topics. But right now with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@WebTV.net. That's MrUFO@WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel body armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
The location, Denver Convention Center. Timeline, June 27th through 29th, 2013. The event, the Doomsday Expo. Our world and nation are changing. It's time for an educational experience that will enlighten you and the entire family at the Doomsday Expo, June 27th, 28th, and 29th at the Denver Convention Center. Check out the latest survival products, learn valuable survival techniques, meet other preppers, and meet guest speakers, including Dr. Joel Wallach, Scott Hunt, Jay Blevins, and more. Boost your knowledge
knowledge with seminars on natural disaster preparedness, long-term prepping, survival gardens, self-defense, off-grid living, and financial planning. Ladies will get a valuable female perspective on family defense and preparedness. There's even a casting call for Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers, and everyone will enjoy the first dry food cook-off. Tickets are just $14 for all 3 days and a Saturday evening concert. Mark your calendars for June 27th through 29th and get all the details at doomsdayexpo.com. Doomsdayexpo.com. Preparation starts here.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we have Leslie Kane, investigative journalist, and she's been telling us about other countries where they take UFOs seriously, particularly the government of Chile. And later on, Charles Holt's going to tell us about Rendlesham and Moore this week in the Paracast. By the way, Leslie, you were telling me that the people from Chile are coming to the United States in late June to do a presentation before a conference. Tell us more.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this upcoming conference is one of the most special aspects of it, is that one of the top officials from the Chilean agency, as well as the top official from the agency in France, are both coming to speak at this conference, which is on June 29th and June 30th, and I'll give the website about it. But the point being that these two guys from the leading agencies in the world have never spoken at a UFO conference in America or any conference in America before, and let alone never been at the same conference together. So as far as I'm concerned, I think this is one of the more exciting aspects about this. It's really historic that these two gentlemen are coming to this event. And there's other speakers as well. And it's a conference that's a two-day event in Greensboro, North Carolina. And the website address is it's the Center for UFO Research North Carolina, CUFORNC. Or if people go to my Facebook page, which is just my name, I have links all over the place for this, the website for this conference. And I really encourage people to check it out. Anybody that's near North Carolina, I really hope they will come. And it's just, I think it's a rare kind of conference because it includes serious scientific people, and including two PhD professors from universities in the United States. We've got Dr. Richard Haynes from NARCAP, who rarely will go to a conference. So it's an opportunity to see him, and General De Brouwer coming from Belgium to talk about the Belgian wave. And, you know, there's going to be new information presented by these people too. For instance, the Belgian wave, you know, had that very famous photograph from Petit Rechin, which has since turned out to be a hoax, which was a terrible development a couple of years ago. So one of the things De Brouwer will do is update us on that situation. And who else is coming?
Of course, we've got Charles Holt.
Charles Holt, of course, and he's going to give, and he's, you know, there's constantly new information on the Rendlesham case coming out, which he's going to bring forward. And you know, many of the people coming, I think, will never have heard him before. So I think there'll be a lot of really great lectures, and they're both, you know, exciting, but also very authoritative. I mean, you know, the information you're getting here is reliable. General Parviz Jafari, also from the 1976 incident over Iran, the dogfight over Iran, he is going to be coming and to talk about what it was like for him to be piloting an Air Force plane in 1976 when he was this gigantic UFO shot projectiles towards his aircraft, and he lost control of his equipment at the last minute when he's trying to defend himself. So a lot of and he became a general afterwards. So we have, I think, a very great group of people, and it's a rare event, I think, in its kind of seriousness and also in its international aspect. It's being hosted and really produced by a man named Kent Center, who has been involved with MUFON for decades, and he has a serious problem with cancer right now. And this is sort of, he's got, you know, a terminal disease, and this is his great wish has been to produce a very serious UFO conference, and he's just working incredibly hard, and he's just unbelievable to me what he's been able to accomplish to make this happen. And it's really because of him that it's happening. So, and I've basically just been a consultant for him, but he's the guy that's putting the whole thing together.
We have to be grateful for all his hard work. I have the information here. It's going to be at the War Memorial Auditorium, Greensboro, North Carolina, Saturday and Sunday, June 29th and 30th. And according to this, you can actually go to Ticketmaster to order tickets, which makes it really easy because you don't have to even remember the site. You can just go to Ticketmaster and look it up, or CUFORNC.com. We'll have links over at theparacast.com, or check
Beautiful.
Leslie Kane's Facebook site to learn more.
And I'll
about
be there also, just to add this, that I'll be there signing my book. And what's kind of amazing for people who, you know, like my book, is that five of the contributors who actually wrote chapters in my book are going to be there. So it's an opportunity to get signatures from not just me in the book, but the incredible people who have written chapters for it, and to get signatures from the French and Chilean officials as well. So I think that's special. And also we have a science lecture Saturday night, which is astrophysicist Jeffrey Bennett, who is not at all a UFO guy. He's coming in just to talk about the scientific search for extraterrestrial life and all the implications of that, and what science is doing, and what the Kepler satellites are discovering about exoplanets, all the Earth-like planets out there, and that kind of stuff, which I find extremely fascinating. So that's sort of a special science lecture that we're having in the middle of the conference as well.
Well, of course, if UFOs are ET, they really are ET. And obviously here at the PowerCast, we still say the jury's out as to what UFOs really are. We don't know yet. But if they are ET, certainly it's become easier to accept because of the discovery of possible Earth-like planets around the galaxy. We have a bunch of questions, Leslie, of you and later on of Charles Holt, but I wanted to get a few of them in before we continue. Chris?
Yeah, Leslie, what I'm going to do is I'm going to combine a number of these questions together into kind of groups and sort of generalize the question for the sake of brevity here. One thing that people are very interested in is the last time that you were on the Paracast, with a lot of enthusiasm, you talked about some sort of a liaison program that you thought would be a perfect way to possibly move this whole subject forward. How much progress have we seen on this idea of creating a liaison program? And who have you talked to? Obviously, you mentioned Podesta. You mentioned several people. Do you want to give us kind of an update on how that particular effort is going?
Yeah, by a liaison program, you mean a government office within the U.S. government?
Correct.
Is that what
or
you mean?
Just moving it to the next level of trying to get people to be on the same page with this. Obviously, the government, it would be the ultimate coup if we could get some sort of program like you described in Chile. But have you done any behind the scenes sort of moving and shaking in this regard? Because you are very well considered out there, and I think a lot of people were very taken by your idea of creating this some sort of liaison program or at least an approach to take to the government with this.
Yeah, I mean, I what happened? I did. You know, had this briefing that we mentioned earlier in 2011, and then there was the election. So a lot of it sort of had to go on hold throughout the election process. And now I am going to get back into sort of trying to take some more steps in Washington. It's very much is behind the scenes, but basically it's just about networking with the right people and seeing if the right people are willing to go to the other right person that might be a little higher up. And just exploring various ways in which such a staff person could actually be assigned. I mean, I you know, even if we just had one staff person within the OSTP, the Office of Science and Technology Policy, that was assigned to manage this particular issue, that would be a tremendous accomplishment, let alone an agency of you know, four people. I don't expect that. But it's a slow process. It takes a long time to get meetings and appointments with anybody of note, as you all probably know. And so I am just sort of plugging away at it. And basically, I can hopefully report back to you after certain things happen, but not before.
Well, that implies certain things might happen, which
might. Let's hope.
Do you think that the current circus in Washington, where they can't think about anything else more than the IRS, more than Benghazi, or about the most troubling aspect of all, tapping phones or checking out logs of reporters, do you think that's making it more difficult to get serious attention to other subjects?
I don't know. I'm not sure I completely understand the question, but I mean, I respect the fact that people in Washington and in government have many, many important issues on their plate. I suppose they also waste time with things that maybe people don't think are so important, but I don't think anything's different in that regard. I mean, I'm not sure I completely understand what that question is getting at.
Well, maybe whether the fact that so much attention is being focused on all this scandal du jour or whatever, real or imagined,
as opposed
whatever,
to something else, or
right? Does it take attention away from other pursuits?
I just don't know. I mean, I think it's par for the course that those things always go on. It's just part of the scene. Whether it takes attention away from something else, I wouldn't know how to answer that. Sorry. I don't know. Maybe you guys can. I mean,
Get me started about politicians, boy.
There's always more going on than one can ever imagine. You know, everybody's overwhelmed in Washington, and that's always the case. No matter what the issues are, there's always things going on. So I don't know, really.
Well, maybe that makes sense. There's a lot of overwhelmed people in Washington that are underwhelmed in terms of their performance.
We're going to be overwhelming our sponsors if I don't do this break. Leslie Kane is joining us. We have Charles Hall joining us a little bit later with Gina and Chris here in...
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster. With MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.